G'day punters, we're back with the AFL Lions season 2016. We've had the technical officer working overtime over the summer to try and sort out the glitch that kept us off the air for the back half of last season. Big fella, I could not be keener for this weekend. I've already told the missus to bugger off. I've got 9 games of footy scheduled in and I'm not going to miss a minute of it.
Oh, absolutely. It's an exciting time of year. Although, if you're an Essendon fan like me, it's an exciting time of year to be looking at your wallet or your fantasy footy or pretty much anything other than is my side going to be any good this year, because the answer is already no.
Have you picked a team to get on for the season? Have you got a second favourite that you're going to follow around?
Well, I got a soft spot for the Lions.
Oh, shit. So, it's going to be a long year for
the big fella. It's going to be a very long year and we're going to need to have a lot of bets.
Very good.
So we may as well kick things off. And we start at the MCG Thursday night for the traditional, well, semi-traditional season opener. Richmond and Carlton. Tigers laying about 5 goals. Total points line low to mid 170s.
Look, it's I don't see Carlton winning a great deal of games this season. They just don't have the list to do that. Their scoring capacity is really, really minimal. I think across the course of the season, they'll probably struggle to average more than 60, 65 points a game, which is just not going to be enough. Richmond do have a lot of significant outs, very key players, Marich, Delidio, Edwards, these types of players that go a long way, but I think they're probably still deep enough to get the job done. But whether they can put it to 6 goals first round of the season, where traditionally Richmond don't actually perform all that well, I'm probably just not going to stick away with that one. But given we didn't do a pre-season analysis this year, I do have one bet for the Carlton faithful. Get on young Wietering for the Rising Star. I think he's second or third favourite at the moment. Still $6 or $7 depending on where you're shopping. He's playing centre-half back. He's going to have a hell of a lot of opportunity to get his hands on the football. And from what I saw in the pre-season, he looks like a ready-made and out-and-out star. So I think that's good value there.
Very good. I've found a bet in this. I'm going to be with the over. Those handful of you who've been listening to the podcast for years, hello, Mum and Dad and Mr. and Mrs. Overshot.
Johnny would, Mitch, that's about the only other one.
Would be well-versed in the fact that I tend to like the under at night, but that's particularly the case when we get to the winter months. Early in the season, it's still warm enough that you can go over early in the season, and particularly at the MCG, there's a bit of a trend that way. Richmond-Carlton games, only one of them since 2006 has gone below 180. Wow. So I think at low to mid 170s and 173.5 was the best number I could see yesterday. I think you can get stuck in there. So we'll get on the totals early and take the over.
Very good.
We go back to the MCG on Saturday afternoon for Melbourne and GWS. The Demons getting a little bit over a goal. Total points line around the 170 mark.
I mean, it sounds silly, but I'm probably looking more forward to this game than any other game this weekend. Melbourne showed some really good signs in the preseason that the young players are coming on. They've got some exciting forwards, but they've shown that they can defend as well in team defence. So expecting big improvement from them this year. Maybe not necessarily in the win column, but I think they'll be a stronger performer and they'll upset some more fancy teams across the course of the season. And GWS, it's their time. Their young group have matured. A lot of them are 50, 60, 70 gamers now and more. They've recruited some solid experience as well, which will only help. Given that that Cameron is out, I think this is probably almost a pick 'em game, and I'm leaning towards Melbourne at the plus. But you know, that anything inside 2 kicks, it can just get taken away from you so quickly. So I'll probably just sit off this one. I want to have a look at these teams in the heat of the season proper and see how they stack up. But I think the total game score of 173 or mid low 170s. Certainly a play for the over, outdoors, during the day, get stuck into that. I think it's going to be, these kids will have a bit of a shootout on the weekend, have a bit of fun. They both move the football quickly, so I think there could be some scoring out there.
I'm the same, I'm with the over. Strong trends to the over in day games early in the season, 23-12 to the over if you exclude the games under the roof, since they don't really count. Also like small favourites early in the year, and I think part of this is people being uncertain coming into a year, which sides will actually come on. They don't always come on as quickly as you'd think. So favourites in the first 3 rounds, really strong trends, running about 3-1 in their favour in terms of covering over the last 4 seasons. So I'm with GWS minus on that basis.
Beautiful.
We move to the second of the Saturday afternoon games, and we're up at the Gold Coast, Metricon Stadium, for the Suns and Essendon. Suns laying about 6 goals, total points line around that 180 mark.
I did make a decision in about, I think the mid part of January, when the shit hit the fan, that I was going to basically take the Dons on any line under 100 points this year. Now, they have done reasonably well with their top-up players, but, I mean, these guys weren't AFL-listed for a reason, and you can't replace your 10 best with 10 blokes other blokes didn't want and expect to be competitive, especially. And other teams will know that. I mean, the teams that are playing against them, they know they need to beat them. They need to beat them well, because pretty much the rest of the competition is pretty strongly balanced at the moment. So
when percentage boosters to be had.
I think so. I mean, early doors, the emotion's going to be up for Essendon to get out there and really, really put in a bit of a show for their fans. There's been a lot of talk about the Dons not winning a game this year. I don't buy into that. If you were ever going to back a team to have no wins, it'd be probably Essendon this year. But they'll get somebody at some stage. They'll find the right team at the right time, and they'll get that bit of success. But more than one or two, I wouldn't have thought. I actually think they'll beat North Melbourne. I'm going to back them to beat North Melbourne head to head whenever that comes up, because that's just, I don't know, North will find a way to bugger that up. But long story short, fellas, sorry about that. I'm going to back the I'm going to lay the points in this one.
I found a bet here, and again, it's a day game. It's early in the season. I'm going to be with the over. Interestingly, all 5 head-to-head games between these teams to date have gone 180 plus.
Have you considered Essendon's obvious lack of scoring power, or you think that they're defensive?
I think they're going to leak.
You think they'll leak? Yeah. Okay. So the what they can't put on the board, the other side's definitely going to bring to the party.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's going to be runs in these games, particularly when they get behind. They're on the road.
Yeah.
Stronger opposition with their tail up. Gold Coast need to make a few statements this year.
I think so.
It's the kind of game where you could have an 8 or 9 goal last quarter with the Suns kicking almost all of it.
Yeah, it's a good.
If things go pear shaped.
Good call.
I don't think the Bombers are going to get into too many games where they get beaten 80-30. If they're going to get swamped, it's going to be a big triple figure number. We saw in the NAB Challenge where West Coast ran up a number on them, and I think that's to the extent bad players get exposed. I think that's where they're going
to
get exposed.
Warsfall's not the type of player to stick 6 blokes behind the ball to limit the damage either. He'd rather see how the young blokes respond and put them under the pump in that regard.
And for the way these kids need to develop going forward, they actually need to play footy that, once the skill level is commensurate, will actually stand up.
Yeah, good call.
And so I can see a few 160 to 70 or 80 sort of beat-ups this year. So they might be an overplay. I'm going to have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So the over for me. We move to Sydney on Saturday night at the SCG. Thank God. We left ANZ Stadium behind for the Swans in Collingwood. Swans laying a little over a goal. Total points line, mid-170s.
I also saw another market is how purple Eddie Maguire is going to get on Saturday night. He's been blowing up about the move into the SCG. I'm not surprised. The Pies have had a good record in Sydney since it's been out at ANZ Stadium, which is essentially that's a travel for the Swans to get there. Most of these guys live on the northern beaches. They'd probably rather go to Brisbane than go to ANZ. I would have thought to play a game of football, but
they'd get there quicker.
They certainly would get there quicker. I'm torn on this game. I think the Swans will win and probably win all right, win pretty comfortably. But look, I'm not too I'm not swept away with what Buckley's doing at the Pies, but they do have a good underbelly of really talented footballers and a pretty solid spine. So again, they'll be there or thereabouts. No challenge for the 8. I don't think they'll win this game, but look, there's enough doubt there for me to stay away from anything in this one. And I hate Sydney as well, so I'm not going to back Sydney at any sort of minus, bugger them.
I'm going to have Sydney at the minus. I'm going to have the small favourites trend early in the year. Also think that, you know, home field advantage, particularly at the SCG, is worth a goal and a half to 2 goals. And I think Sydney are actually a better side than Collingwood. Not necessarily by a hell of a lot, but something in the, if this line had been 15 points or thereabouts, I'd have pretty comfortably walked away from it. This line suggests to me that Sydney are actually a worse side of the neutral venue than Collingwood, and I don't buy that.
I think it's something to really consider as well. On the longer term, with Sydney now playing all of their home games at the SCG, when determining Sydney's capacity to win, I think that games at the SCG are won by the most skillful midfield, not necessarily the hardest ball-winning midfield, but the midfield that uses the ball the best.
Yep.
And I think Collingwood probably just edged Sydney there, so I wouldn't be surprised. The difference is, I guess, is Sydney's forwards probably convert a bit better than Collingwood's will, so that might get him out of jail. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Collingwood have as many, if not more, shots on goal than Sydney on this game.
It would amuse me to see Sydney lose. Oh, and it always does.
It amuses me to see Sydney lose every single game every year. It'd be fantastic.
All right, we move on to the second of the Saturday night games, and we're at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for North Melbourne and Adelaide. Kangaroos giving up about two goals or a little over, total points line mid-180s.
Yeah, look, I'm just not sure how the Crows are going to stack up without Dangerfield. And they say one man doesn't, you know, one man doesn't make the team, but he's such an important part of their structure. He sets them up with his contested football, takes the pressure off Thompson and Sloan and these guys in the midfield. They're going to have to carry that load. They do have Crouch coming in, who is a contested ball footballer, but he's more of a win and distribute by hands to the outside players than the bullet-a-gate type that Dangerfield is. He'll split the pack open and get quick ball into the forward. So it'll be interesting to see how they'll adjust to that. And they obviously will have spent a lot of time, Don Pike, a new coach as well, how he's structured them up. Midfield setup is going to be pretty interesting. I just think that ripple effect is going to take him a bit of time to get used to in that second and third tier of midfield, whereas North don't have those issues. North need to win these sorts of games. Etihad, small line. I'm going to back North to cover. I think they'll probably win by four or five goals.
You hit the point there that brought me to no bet. North should win this.
Yeah, and they haven't won a game in round one for 5 years. It's fucking ridiculous.
That makes me very nervous.
That needs to break as well. So here we go.
Yeah, I'm the same.
If it was anywhere other than Etihad, I would be nowhere near. I'd be betting into them.
Yeah.
Anywhere other than Etihad.
Yeah, no bet here for me. I don't know yet what to do with Adelaide. I rarely know what to do with North. Total seemed a fraction light to me, but not a lot in it. It was a pretty easy lay down for mine. So we moved to Sunday, and the first of the Sunday afternoon games, and we're back at the Docklands for the Western Bulldogs and Fremantle. Now, you can get pretty much 1.5 either side, depending on which bookmaker you take. Sometimes the Dogs are favourite, sometimes Freo are favourite. Total points line around the mid-170s.
It was a little bit surprising to me, this line, at first glance. I know there's a lot of hype around the Doggies, and they did so well last year. And I love them. They've been a favourite team of mine for a long, long time, ever since my first football club was the Dogs, so I used to follow them. I've followed their progress with a lot of keenness, and it's really good to see them doing well. But this isn't the NAB Cup. This is round one. Season proper. Ross Lyon knows he has a genuine top two team, and he knows he's running out of opportunities to get that flag. I think the Dogs have a chance to win. I honestly do, but I don't believe this is a genuine flip of the coin game. I think head-to-head value is overs, and I think we should be playing Fremantle to win this game. I said I wouldn't be surprised if the Dogs got them, but they certainly don't deserve to be head to head. Even at Etihad, as well as they play that game, I just don't see where this is coming from. I think those people have bought a little bit too much into their preseason.
Yeah, and indeed, a couple of weeks ago, this line was, you know, in the early markets, you were shopping around 6.5, 7.5 point Freo favouritism, and the money has come from the Dogs.
Is it pension week in Footscray? Has everyone gone and jammed their 50 on?
It could be. Who knows? I'm a bit the same. I think Freo are the better side, and I think the closest thing I could find to a season-long bet that I actually liked earlier on was Fremantle to be the minor premiers that are around the $9 or $10 mark. You can't get that anymore. I think the value's gone at about $6.50 or $7.
Yep.
My only hesitation, and the reason I'm going to sit this game out, is the Dogs were in a not dissimilar position as small underdog, albeit couple of goal underdogs last year in the opening round against West Coast.
Yes, and they touched them up. They did. Yeah. I did look at that, and that was a consideration I made. But West Coast took time to get used to playing that web defence, and that they were not the team that powered through the middle and back end of the season, yep, the first three or four rounds last year. So I discarded that.
Yeah, so it's a no bet for me, but I wouldn't be terribly surprised if I was sitting there on Sunday afternoon quite regretful that why didn't I just take the better team here as the Dockers steamroll their way to 1-0 and...
never look back.
We've got a couple of hundred games this year to feel regretful about. What's one game between friends?
Exactly right.
Second of the Sunday afternoon games, and we're at the Adelaide Oval for Port Adelaide and St Kilda. Power laying about 5 goals, total points line high 170s.
Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide, it's a no-brainer. They will win this game. I do like what Richardson has done with the Saints group. These young blokes are hungry. They're actually playing a very similar brand of football to what first year Ken Hinckley, Port Adelaide were playing. They're manic with their pressure and they work really hard without the football. And that's all you can really ask of a young developing football team. You don't expect them to put massive numbers on the board, but you expect that level of effort. So I'm pretty comfortable that Port will win this game, but I think St Kilda show just enough to make you just balk a little bit at the 5-goal start. It's a lot of points in round one where it'd be a lot of contested footy, and it could be, you know, there's Sunday afternoon at Adelaide Oval. It's usually a little bit blustery as well. So I there's enough doubt there for me to sit this one out.
Yeah, I couldn't get near the line at all, but again, it's a day game, it's early in the season, happy to play the over. Good spot for Port generally in day games at the Adelaide Oval as an overplay, and particularly early in the season, I think that's something that we can grab.
Beautiful.
So we move to the last of the Sunday games. It's a 6:40 start on the Eastern Seaboard, but it's a twilight game over in Perth. So it's Subiaco for West Coast and Brisbane. Now, speaking of regrets not betting, this line opened about 6-goal favourites West Coast and was around that mark until about a week ago. And in the space of a day, it became 9.5 goals, and that was that.
So someone's jammed the farm on them.
Yep, and the total's about 180, and you know what? I almost took the minus at 9.5 goals.
Well, mate, you wouldn't believe it. That's exactly what I've said. Wow, 10 goals in round one is a massive go. I'd love to play the plus here, but I'm just not convinced West Coast are as solid as everyone thinks they are. That's why I really want to take on the line. I mean they made the grand final last year and they did some amazing things with some key personnel out. I don't think they can play that style of football again with that personnel back in. They have to rebuild and change it all around again. So it's going to be really interesting how they actually structure up. And look, I don't mind Brisbane. I think Brisbane have a better midfield than West Coast do, man for man. I think Stephen Martin could make an argument. You can make an argument Stephen Martin is as good or better than Nat Newey. He's not as flamboyant, but he gets the job done. And then man for man on the ground, I think Brisbane have a far superior midfield to West Coast. They just lack the cattle end to end. And that's the problem here, and the reason there's been such a big go for the Eagles with their forward set up against a young and immature Brisbane defence. They could really get hold of him and stitch him up big time. So there's enough doubt there, but I might even at some stage between now and Sunday afternoon, if I have a couple of sneaky beers, there's every chance I might back Brisbane at the plus, but I'm not going to do it right now.
Yeah. It's a no bet for me, but I got close to West Coast at the minus here. One thing they did, and even a couple of seasons back when they were pretty poor and missed the finals, they built bad sides, and they're really good at building bad sides at home. So their record at home covering as favourites of more than 5 goals is phenomenal. Mm. And even at more than 9 goals is actually really good. But yeah, gee, there's some junk time. Once you're up in that 8, 9, 10 goal region, there's a lot of stuff that you just go, oh, who cares this late in the game? But they are very good. They're actually better than Frio on those really big lines at Subi, you know, often against a young and pretty crap side who's down on momentum, and the Eagles just steamroll them.
Sweet.
So I almost took it. I'm very regretful I didn't take the 6 goals, and I can't talk myself into 9.5.
We'll make that a shiny dollar bet on Sunday afternoon, mate. We'll get around that.
Yep, very good. And we move to Monday afternoon, last game of the round. We're at the MCG for Geelong and Hawthorn. The Cats getting a little over a goal. Total points line, low 180s.
I actually think, and you'll disagree with me on this, just on recent exposed form, but I think the Cats are probably a bit stiff to be going into this game as underdogs. Obviously, Hawthorn's record is what it is over the last few years, but they've got some significant outs from the last side that took the paddock. You don't even talk about the retirees in Lake and Hale, but Roughhead's out for the first half of the season. Liam Scheel, who's our number one stopper in the midfield, is out. Then you lose Suckling, these sorts of types around the back half of the ground. It's going to be a different unit that Hawthorn put out there, and a bit of inexperience, I would imagine. And Geelong have just, they've recruited so well. Like, they've filled every gap they had. If Selwood gets up and plays, then I think Geelong will win this game. And I'm not going to bet into Hawthorn, because that's a little deal I've made with myself. But if Selwood is named in the side, then I think Geelong will win this football game, hands down. And again, just a season-long bet that I found. This is the only actual finishing finishing bet that I found. I like the Cats to make the top four. You can still get $2.20. It's not a lot, but I think that's a pretty solid bet. I reckon they're a genuine top two contender with the list they've got in place. So yeah, no bet for me here, but a little bit of wisdom for you out there. Hopefully you take that on board and get. Follow me home with the season-long bet on the Cats top four.
Well, I got two bets here. I'm going to stick with the over in the day games, and I'm going to stick with Hawthorn at the minus.
The big fella's going bananas. Bananas, I say.
Actually, it'd be an interesting thing to see this year whether I end up having more turnover than you. It's never happened. It is a genuine chance this year.
I'm just going to have to lift my game. That's all that is.
Small favourites tick. Geelong have recruited wonderfully, but one of the things, had they not, that kind of came out of last year was they were probably, when you think about percentage, when you think about records in close games, they were arguably the 11th or 12th best side last year. That puts them a long way behind Hawthorn. And yes, Hawthorn have some outs and they have some retirements, and Geelong have definitely made some ground. That's a chasm to pull together over the course of a season. How much they've closed the gap and how quickly they can close the gap with those new personnel remains to be seen, and I think they'll be finishing hard late in the season. I think they're the team, if you're Hawthorn, the one team you don't want to run into in a sudden death final is Geelong. Because I think they've got Freo's number, they've got West Coast's number when it matters, particularly if the game's in Melbourne. I don't think anyone outside them is good enough to match motors with Hawthorn, but in a prelim final or a grand final, Geelong are the one you don't want to run into.
Jeff Cannon will disagree with you, but we're happy to move on.
But this early in the season, with that bigger starting gap as at last August, I'm happy to play the minus until I'm proven wrong.
Mate, that's the beauty of the way we go about it. Stats don't factor in changes to the football team, so I won't be fucking laughing about it. I'll give you that for free if Geelong get up and win, but it's something that we can discuss next week.
That's all right. Hopefully they score lots of points and I get the over up anyway.
Well, that's perfect. Before we actually run through the total bets for this week, I have a bet for anybody out there that wants to get on. I'm setting the line after the changes to the rule about the 10-metre protected zone around the marked ball. 50-metre penalties this weekend. I'm setting the line at 175. anyone that wants the $1.90 either side, just send me a message and we'll sort it out.
175. I wouldn't mind having a shiny dollar on the under there. Seems a lot of space.
Mate, it's going to be ridiculous. It'll be interesting to see how that changes things, because notionally it should help the teams that move that have better skills.
Yep.
But it'll also help the teams that want to play on and take the game on. So yep. I think it'll be good in that regard.
Yep. Okay, so we've got a total of 8 bets this week for me. So I've got...
Woo! That is a record.
So I'm going to do this by lines. I've got 3 lines: GWS at the minus, Sydney at the minus, Hawthorn at the minus, and I've got the over in 5 games: Richmond, Carlton, Melbourne, GWS, Port St Kilda, Gold Coast, Essendon, Geelong, Hawthorn.
My goodness me! Well, I've got 4 this week. I have the over in the Melbourne GWS game, and then I've got Gold Coast minus against the Dons. I've got the North minus against the Crows. And I've got Freo to beat the Dogs head to head.
There you are, folks. A dozen to get us rolling for the year. Let's hope we make a profit.
Get around it.
Good luck and good punting, folks.